You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we're talking Marlins baseball. We bring in our Marlins reporter for MLB.com, Joe Fusaro. Joe, you wrote recently that the Andrew McCutchen trade from the Pirates to the Giants has a ripple effect on the possible moves for Christian Yelich and JT Realmuto. How so?
Anytime there's a change in the market, obviously it kind of reshapes the market. And, you know, obviously, if, you know, the Giants address an outfield need, I guess they're still looking for more outfield help. But the likelihood of the Giants being interested in Yelich obviously would decline because of the prospects it would take to get him. And obviously, they just move prospects to get Andrew McCutchen. So, to me, it almost kind of makes the Pirates interesting and wonder if they could potentially be in play, because with the Gerrit Cole and the McCutchen deals, they kind of strengthen their farm system. Their team, you know, just listening to Neil Honeycutt, you know, talking about is their redirect. And, you know, I think he would say they don't ideally want to take it all the way down, hope to be as competitive as possible. And Yelich making $7 million in 18 and 44 million left through 2021, very affordable player. So it just kind of reshapes the market. And, you know, obviously with some of the comments being made about Yelich wanting to leave, I'm sure talks will pick up. But I can tell you this, they kind of had simmered for a while. There hasn't been any type of urgency on the talks for Yelich, except for more than about 15 teams have checked in over the course of the offseason on his availability, but the asking price is extremely high.
All right, we saw a deadline pass on Friday. We have three Marlins who are unsigned for 2018, JT Realmuto, Dan Straley, and Justin Bour, not coming to terms with the club. Looks like they could be headed for arbitration. What's the latest here?
Yeah, you know, Friday was the deadline to exchange salaries, and the Marlins have a longstanding policy. They had it with Jeffrey Loria, and it's continuing with the Bruce Sherman, Derek Jeter. If they're violent trial teams, since no agreements were reached, they're going to have those guys' salaries determined by an arbitration panel. Now, all three are in arbitration for the first time. All three are core players, so they will be Marlins, assuming they're not traded. But it just determines their salaries for this year. The fact that they're $600,000 apart on Realmuto, I think he filed at $3.5 and the club counted at $2.9 million. It's not an ideal situation. You know, obviously, teams try to avoid this because those hearings are pretty uncomfortable because, you know, they're told both sides are saying, you know, not the nicest things to each other. And so, you know, the team barring, you know, any type of change in policy, which I don't see, I think that's going to be determined at a hearing, but that will be done before spring training starts, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
With the Miguel Rojas and Derek Jeter agreeing on their one-year contracts, what do you expect from them this season?
Yeah, both will have interesting roles. You know, I thought going into the offseason, the Marlins would more heavily look in this shortstop situation because it's a bit unsettled. JT Riddle is a talented left-handed hitter who was a rookie last year, but he had shoulder surgery. And Miguel Rojas, who played shortstop a good bit, he had thumb surgery, although he finished the year healthy, but Rojas has dealt with left shoulder injury as well, issues as well. So, yeah, two guys have missed substantial time, but as of now, it looks like you're looking at Riddle and Rojas, you know, fighting it out in probably a platoon-type situation. I would anticipate if healthy, Riddle would be the guy with Rojas being a right-handed option, but Rojas is real valuable because he can play third base, which we don't know if Prado is fully healthy or Brian Anderson, who was called up in September, is really ready to be the everyday guy. So Rojas is valuable there. He also plays second base. And if Castro gets moved, Rojas could be there. And Dietrich's in a similar situation. Utility guy, left-handed batter with some power. He can also play a corner outfield, preferably left. But he's more of third base, second base, a little bit of first base, and left field. So two valuable bench players who could see substantial time. They got done, which that's always encouraging.
All right, let's talk about this Marlins starting rotation. If the season started today, how do you believe it would unfold 1 through 5?
Well, I'm going to take the stance that Sandy Alcantara, the number one prospect acquired in the Marcelo Zuna trade, he's just 22 years old. He got 8 innings of relief at the big league level last year. making the leap from Double A. I'm going to take the assumption he's not going to be ready. I'm going to take the assumption the team is going to say, Andy, even though this guy could profile as their ace, stay in Triple A, especially in April where weather isn't great in the north, and just kind of get those innings. So I'm going to take it with Dan Straley, fronting the rotation with Jose Urania. Now, based on last year's numbers, Urania led the team in wins. He's got more electric stuff, but I would anticipate Straley being the proven veteran, kind of that stabilizing guy. You kind of know what you get. I think he will be the opening day starter. I think he will get that nod. I think Straley is going to have a lot to play for this year and pitch for because, he, like I said, he's first-year arbitration. His name's a possibility to be moved at some point if this team, feels they could, at the trade deadline, there's a contending team that needs starting pitching help. If Straley's performing at a high level, which I anticipate he will do everything in his power to do, he's going to be a valued guy in the first half of the year to help mentor some of these young guys and be a possible trade piece at the mid-season point. And I'm going to follow up with Urania, who basically has been the most untouchable Marlin this offseason. They pretty much have listened to everybody on everybody. They obviously traded Stanton, Ozuna, and Gordon, and more to come possibly. But Urania, not being in arbitration yet, having upside, now he probably profiles more back of the rotation in front. But, this guy has done everything right. He made a lot of strides last year, and he's, safely on the team. And I would kind of slot him number two. And then number three is going to be kind of a question mark. Is Adam Connolly ready to step up? He had a very strong 2016 before, breaking his finger in August. And his stuff and his velocity really dipped last year. I think they're going to hope for a bounce back, to see if he could do a little bit more. Caleb Smith, who they got in a trade with the Yankees, he's a left-hander. He's going to have a chance to fight for a rotation spot. So you're going to have some interesting pieces there, competing to round out the rotation, and you can have a number of these young guys who just got brought in that are also going to be in the mix. I think a guy to keep an eye on is a Trevor Richards, who's a guy who's, I think he's like pipeline, I think has 23 or 24 now in their latest list. He was born a top 15. He was a Double A last year. He had a chance to kind of be a September call up. I thought he was going to get called up, but, he didn't. He's going to compete. And another wild card in the mix is Dylan Peters, who, if on point and his fastball command is there, Dylan Peters was a September call-up. I could see him being in a rotation, but he, like Alcantara, if he's not showing everything right, I think he could start off at Triple A because he's pretty valuable. So it's going to be interesting, Alexa, because their rotation that opens the season may be completely different. The guys they really think could be fronting this rotation, not just for 18, but 19 and beyond, could be opening up at Triple A, Double A, and they're going to be as fascinating to follow the first couple of months as the guys that are actually in the big leagues. But Peters is a guy I think many are assuming will be in the rotation. I'm kind of hedging only for the fact that he lacked fastball command when he was called up in September. He didn't throw a ton of innings. Real valued guy, low to mid-90s fastball from the left side with a real plus curveball, real good pitchability, and he's a pretty valuable guy that I think they're going to want to make sure he is all right and ready to go. So that's why I'm not automatically having him in the rotation to start the year, but certainly he will be in the rotation, I would anticipate, shortly after. It could be weeks or a month or two.
Of these pitchers that we saw last season, who do you believe needs to make the biggest stride for 2018?
Well, Peters is an obvious one, but I'll say Connolly because, he's got a lot to prove. He's a guy who potentially is going to be pitching for his career. He's a guy that has to really step up. Again, the velocity was down. The stuff kind of regressed. And I'll throw another guy in there. I'll throw Justin Nicolino. Here's a guy that's not overpowering, but, they're going to try to figure out what he is. Is he a starter? Is he more of a left-handed reliever? He's kind of at a crossroads. He's kind of coming out of options. So, that's a guy that's going to have a lot to prove. Wei-Yin Chen, who I didn't mention, and the reason I didn't mention him, is injury. This guy only made like 32, 33 appearances in 2 years with the Marlins, been dealing with this left elbow. And last year he was shut down. So I can't automatically, would definitively say Wei-Yin Chen will be in their opening day rotation. But clearly a guy making a lot of money and a guy who has a lot to prove. But until he proves health, I kind of put him in the back burner.
Marlins fans have heard a lot about Sandy Alcantara. When can they expect him to be part of this rotation?
Yeah, I mean, the team will tell you that they'll break camp with the best five, and if Sandy's ready, he's ready. And that's all well and good, but when you're in the situation the Marlins are in, when you're doing this, you know, redirect, reset, and there's really no rush on, especially at service time, on these guys. And again, I've seen too many players and young pitchers, because this isn't the first time I've seen the Marlins going to go with young pitching, and I just know how the weather is in April. You know, I know you go up to Washington. I think last year we went to Washington. I think Dan Straley's first start, I think he may have gotten an inning or two, or Connolly, one of those two, and the weather came and it just blew that game away, and then he's down for 5 days, you know, because, and you know, the mounds aren't always in the best of shape. They're slick. The weather is really, you know, really cold, gripping the baseball and pitching in that environment. I have no problem with their young guys, unless the team was World Series contender type of team and they had proven guys. Sandy Alcantara does not need to be rushed. There's really no reason. And again, it could be May, it could be June, but you know, these guys, if he also takes off and looks like he's really got everything figured out, you know, opening day is possible, but that's on the player. You know, Jose Fernandez is age 20. He showed that maturity, that skill, but he was a generational talent, and you know, can't really expect everybody 22 or younger just to be ready on opening day.
All right, so a lot for this team to sort out between now and spring training to get ready for opening day. And a lot of upside for this team, things for this Marlins fan base to look forward to. That's going to do it for us for MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. We've got a fresh new edition next week, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you joining us.